Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So towards the end of last year, I began, while I was praying and seeking the Lord and kind of starting to plan out what I'm going to be speaking on for this year, the one thing came very strong to me, and that is, what comes first for us as believers? What is the most important things for us? How many of you in this place want to have a blessed life? Let me see your hands. Amen. If you didn't put your hand up, it's okay. They late hands count. I saw them. Amen. You need to put your hand up for that. Amen. We all want to have a blessed life. We all want to be blessed. We want to walk with the Lord, and we want to know that His hand is on us. Even if it goes rough, you just want to know His hand is on you, right? Amen. To me, the most important thing is to just know that God is with me. And, you know, David said, Lord, take everything, but just don't take your spirit from me, you know. And the most important priority in my life is to know that God is with me, and to know that He's leading me, and that we're okay. You know, that's really important. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about this morning. You know, a lot of people believe that believing in God is good. And you know, believing in God is good, but the Bible says that even the demons believe. And they ain't going to heaven. I'm just saying. So there's more. There's more that's required of us than just believing. You know, God has said in His word, I'm actually going to jump right towards the end of my sermon and read something to you. Okay, Deuteronomy 6, verse number 5. What does God want from you? Let me read it to you. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today, listen to this, shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. I honestly believe, and there's more scripture to confirm this, but I'll read you Matthew 22, verse 36 says, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. What is most important to God? I have no doubt that what God wants more than anything is for you to love Him. Is for you and I to love Him. Now, that's pretty loaded, because why should we love Him? Why should we love God? Well, let's start by saying this. As I said at the beginning this morning, really the sermon series is what comes first, or what is first. So what has God done for us? First, I want you to know that He won't require you to do anything that He hasn't already done for you. Because the truth is He gave first before He asked you to give back to Him. He gave us His firstborn. We'll talk about that, but let's look at Romans 8:29, because this is powerful. And this will kind of open it up for discussion, even though you're not allowed to talk. You can talk on Tuesday during the sermon second. And if you ain't there, it's not my problem. Okay. Don't send me emails. It doesn't. Okay. Romans 8:29. I'm just kidding. You can send emails to Naomi. Okay. Romans 8:29. I'll behave. I'll stop. Okay. I will stop now. Okay. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. This is a loaded statement, and theologically we could really dive into this, but I kind of want to just say this to you. What you need to understand is that Jesus was already from the foundation of the world. So he's, when he's talking about the firstborn, he's talking about the firstborn of many, us. He was the firstborn here on earth that came and he gave his life. He sacrificed. So we also will be born again and our lives will also become a drink offering for him. Can you say amen? So, but I want you to see it that he was the first one who did it. He was the first one who came and made a sacrifice and gave his life. Now, why does that matter? Because of this. Let me read it to you. John 1 verse 4. We love him because he first loved us. This is so powerful. So he sent his son to become the firstborn, to give his life. And now we also will follow by loving him back, by giving our lives back to him. We love him because he first loved us. The word agape, which is so powerful. And here actually it's agapeo, which is slightly different, but it really is the root word. The truth is that people will try and explain this word to you. And I've been studying it pretty intensely this week. The truth is it's a Greek word that has baffled scholars. Most scholars can't truly explain the meaning of the word agapeo or agape because it is such an intense, deep word. It digs far deeper than any kind of other love. A person becomes the object of your affection to the point of being willing to even die for them. That's the kind of love we're talking about. So what did God do? He did it for you first. He came and he died. He sent his son. He gave his only son to die for us because he loves us, right? So what does he say? That we should also love him back. By doing what? By doing the same in return. Well, I'm not going to do that. Okay. That's okay. That's your choice. We have a choice whether we will love him or not. Let me ask you a question. The Bible speaks about our relationship with Christ as being that of a bride and a groom, right? The church is the bride, and he is the bridegroom, right? Now, let me ask you a question. If you really love your spouse, this can go either way, what would you do to prove that you love them? Now, many of you will say, well, I'll be, you know, this great romance guy, whatever, and whatever. That's great, and it'll last a little while. But it goes deeper than that. Because the more that you sacrifice in your marriage, the more you will prove to your spouse that you love them. Jesus proved to his spouse that he loves his spouse by giving his life for his spouse. You are his spouse. You are his bride. He gave everything. So what did God do? Why should I love him? Well, he gave his life for you. So if you're in a marriage and you're married to somebody and that person is so loving and will do anything for you, will sacrifice watching TV and take care of the kids for you, will cook you a meal and take care of the meal and you can sit and relax, and in the morning when you get up, that person will take the kids to school or will make sure your clothes are washed or will live a sacrificial life. How would you like a spouse like that? Amen. How would you like it if you knew without a shadow of a doubt that your spouse was willing to do anything for you, even to die for you? There are many spouses today that believe that as long as they're a good lover, as long as they pay the bills, they're doing their part. Well, I've got news for you. It doesn't work that way. Listen to me. Real love is willing to make a sacrifice, is willing to lay your life down. You see, the truth is, God is asking nothing of you that he hasn't already done for you. He has already given his life for you. He sent his son. He gave his life for us. Now, he says to you, all I want back is that you love me like that. Can you say amen? If you want to have a blessed life, you need to learn to fall in love with him. He is amazing. He is amazing. He's the only place I find peace. He's the only place I find stability, consistency, true love. I think I'm a pretty good husband. I'm just saying. And I think the more I fall in love with God, the better husband I become to my wife. But let me tell you that it's my wife that taught me what that looks like. Because she has laid her life down for me in more ways than I can ever explain. And she did it when I gave very little back. Now all I want to do is love her that way. And what has it done? It has opened my eyes. Because now I see how Christ loves the church. And what does love look like? That's what it looks like. Is that okay? All right, let's go deeper. Why is this so important? Why is it so important to God? This is not working out at all like I planned it. Let's go straight. Well, let me start by saying this. In the book of Revelation, the Lord addresses seven churches. He speaks a very intense message to all these churches. I'm going to talk about the one just briefly, and then we're going to go into the one now in a minute. He addresses the church in Laodicea. The church in Laodicea, he speaks to them and he addresses them as the lukewarm church. Now, what many people don't know is that he addresses them as a lukewarm church because it made sense to them how it all works. See, when you read your Bible, it says, I would prefer that you would be either hot or cold, but not lukewarm, because if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Now, I know many people that think, you see, well, dear, God would prefer me just to be like a backslider, be cold. Well, that's totally out of context. The reason why he says that is because of this. Because Laodicea was a little city in the middle of a mountain. At the top of the mountain was a hot spring. And those hot springs had healing qualities, they believed, in that day. So people would go and sit in that hot water to be healed and refreshed. If you went down the mountain to the middle of the mountain was the water where it was lukewarm. That lukewarm water, if you drank it, would make you sick and you would vomit. Whereas if you went down the river to the cold water, it would bring you refreshing. It would restrain. How many of you have ever gotten into cold, ice cold, refreshing water? You get out, your body's tingling, you feel great, right? So that's what he was saying when he said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. I would rather you be on fire. I would rather you be refreshing, that you'd bring life, that you'd bring rejuvenation. He didn't say that I would rather you be backslidden. But he doesn't like a lukewarm believer. Because a lukewarm believer has lost something. Let's take a look at how he addresses the church in Ephesus. The church in Ephesus was at the time probably one of the greatest churches. I said last week or a couple of weeks ago, it's a church that they say had easily over 100,000 members. It was a powerful church, a great church. And when Jesus addresses the church in Ephesus, he actually addresses them and compliments them on the work they've done. Let's read it together. Revelation 2, verse number 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, these things says he who holds seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Now, I want you to just understand something. This is saying that he who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, there's a light in this church. And the Lord Jesus is the one who's walking in that church. He represents that light. If you understand the seven lampstands, the seven flames, the seven stars of God, you will understand the express image of who the Holy Spirit is and what Christ represents. We're not going to get into all of that, but what you need to understand is that that's where the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, that's where your fire and your passion comes from as a believer. Look at what it says. He holds the seven stars in his right, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Now he's about to tell them what he has to say to them. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And this is really powerful because it basically speaks about a church that had good works, that was a church doing good things, a church that was laboring well, a church that had patience. Listen, this sounds like an awesome church to the point where those fiery apostles would come in, and they would come in there, these guys would come in, and they would be ministers of the gospel, and they would say the right things, they would look like the right thing, everything would be right and look right, but they would be able to discern that they were false, when many other churches could not do that. And I could spend 4 or 5 weeks just on that to teach you about that. But this church had an ability. In other words, they were sensitive. They could pick up these things. They were a powerful church. They were serving the community. They were infiltrating the community. In fact, if you study it, you'll find out that the spiritual atmosphere of Ephesus had greatly changed because of the church that was there. They were doing everything right, except... Let's take a look at it. Are you guys okay? I know it's, you know, cold this morning in Vero Beach. You have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. So you have done everything right, church. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Wow. Now watch. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Are you with me? He compliments a church that is doing everything right, except the most important thing. The most important thing is to love the Lord with all of our hearts, is to go back to do the first things. Now watch what he says, because it's extremely powerful. He says this in verse number 5. It's very quiet. Are you guys okay? All right. He says, verse number 4, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Now he says, he gives them the recipe for going back to their first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. So the first thing that they need to do, the first thing that we need to check in our own lives, is where we have fallen from. In other words, what were they like when they had God as their first love? Remember where you have fallen from. It's not talking about sin, because that's not what the issue is here. This is talking about not loving God as your first love, right? Remember where you have fallen from, what you were doing, what you were like when you had me as your first love. How thankful you were. How hungry you were for the presence of God. How passionate you were. In fact, if we quickly jump to Acts 19, verse 17, let me read to you what they were like. Look at this, Acts 19, 17. This is when the church of Ephesus began. This became known to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many who believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and they totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. I want you to see that this sounds to me like a church that was having revival. This sounds to me like a church of people that when they gave their hearts to the Lord, when they recognized that Jesus was the Son of God, that they fell in love with Him. And what they did was they repented and they turned from everything and they gave up their wicked ways and they made a decision to follow God with everything. They had a bonfire in the front of the building and they brought all their CDs and they bought, okay, they didn't have CDs, but whatever they played, they bought all their junk and they put all their junk in the front and they worshiped God. They were desperate for God. They were willing to do everything for God. And if you study the church at Ephesus and their walk, you will see that there was no church that was committed like this. They were unbelievably committed and devoted to God. And you could see their love come through. Amen. So the first thing we need to do when we need to check ourselves is remember what we were like when we had this love, when we had this passion. If you've never had this love, if you've never had a passion for Jesus, you don't know what you're missing. So he says, remember from where you have fallen. Verse number 5. Let's go back there real quick. Revelation 2, verse number 5. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. And then he says the next thing. He says, repent. Repent. Repent from what? What the word repent there, many of you know what the word repent means. The Greek word for the word repent is metanoia. And what it means, the first word or the first part of that word, it's a compound of two Greek words, meta and noia. And what meta means is to turn. And Noah means mind, will, and the way you think, your opinion. When you put the two words together, what it basically says is it says it's a decision to completely change the way a person thinks, lives, and behaves. So he's saying, what he's saying is, I want you to turn. I want you to repent. I want you to repent. I want you to turn. I want you to turn back to the way that things were in the beginning. He says, I want you to remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works. I want you to repent. I want you to turn back. I don't want you to keep going in this direction that you're going. Because if you keep going in this direction where you're just doing church and you're not remembering the most important thing that I'm actually after, which is your heart, something will happen. Something will happen to us as a church. Something will happen to you as a believer. And you may be sitting there and you may be able to testify to what I'm saying. Because this is what happens if you lose God as your first love. He says, I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand. What is the lampstand? The lampstand represents the seven flames of the Spirit. Remember, Jesus walks in the churches. He's here. In spirit, He's here and He's walking in the churches. He's here, He's watching you. He's looking at you. He knows you here. He knows your life. He has the seven flames and the seven candlesticks and the seven stars of God and that passion and that zeal and what keeps you going as a true believer, walking in the light, walking in the passion of God. You see, He's the one who allows it to be put out if you don't love Him. Or you'll go to heaven. But man, I don't want to live till I go to heaven without loving Him, without His fire and His Spirit breathing and living inside of me, without His peace and joy that's a peace that surpasses understanding. Naomi and I are amazed at how we handle stuff nowadays. It's unreal. I don't know how it happens. The most horrible things happen to us. Sometimes, not often. And when they used to happen, we would fall apart. I remember when we planted the church 5 years ago. We planted the church. If something would happen, our worlds were ending. Now it's like, okay, we'll get through this. Because I know people suffer. I know people go through stuff. And I don't even want to imagine some of the things people have to deal with. It's heartbreaking. But when you make him your first love, your lampstand will continue to burn brightly. The oil of the Holy Spirit will continue to shine in your life. It will bring you joy. It will bring you peace. It will bring you strength. It will bring you renewal. And that's what keeps that passion going between you and the King. Can you say amen? I'm almost done. He will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from you. We come to church and we want the blessing, right? I want to have the blessed life, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I need to tell you this morning that He loves you and has given everything for you. And what He requires in return is that you love Him back. What does that look like? That looks like a person who has surrendered to Him. Oceans Unite Christian Center will not be a church that's lampstand gets put out. I don't want to be a pastor of a church that has no bright lampstand. I would rather be out of the ministry than be a church where the presence of God isn't one of our highest values. I would rather not be a minister. I would rather not be here. Because you see, let me tell you something. We can do church, and we can do church just like do stuff and have functions and coffee shops and all this stuff. But if we don't have that lampstand firmly in its place, filled with oil from heaven that sets the captive free, that heals the brokenhearted, that touches those that need a touch, that brings deliverance and healing, that brings salvation, not just a raised hand, but a heart that is surrendered to God. If we don't have that lampstand, we are ineffective. We can be a church like the church in Ephesus, doing all the right things, having a nice building, looking like we're doing everything right, but we need that lampstand, and that lampstand comes from one place only. He's not asking you to do anything that He hasn't done for you already. Well, you know, Pastor Alex, Jesus has done everything for me. I don't have to do anything. You sound like a selfish bridegroom or bride. You sound like a selfish wife or husband that wants his wife to serve on him, or wants his husband, her husband, to just do everything, and you must just sit there and get your nails done all the time and do nothing and never help, never serve your husband. And don't let me get started, guys, because I will get you. Pastor Alex, how is it? How do I make my marriage better? You must die. You must die. Well, my husband won't die. Well, you die first and watch. He'll die eventually. Well, what if he doesn't? Well, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But generally, the response, if you think that makes sense, how can what Jesus did for us not do the same? How can we not have the same response? It starts with first things first. What comes first? What comes first is to love him because he loved you first. Let's bow our heads. Father, this morning, this word is so important to me. And as the senior pastor of this church, I remember. And I repent as well, Father. If I've ever put anything above loving you, as the pastor of this church, you are my priority. I love you with all my heart. Let my works display this. Not because I have to, but because I see what you have done. I have tasted, I have seen, and I know that you are good. I know that your mercy endures forever. I ask you, Father, as the pastor of this church, that you would keep our lampstand burning bright. That every one of us would recognize that if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all these things will be added to us. Sometimes we don't know how to love you, God. So I ask that you will show us and that you will teach us to love you more. But we love you because of who you are. And therefore, we ask that you would reveal to us more and more every day your nature, your goodness, your love, your mercy, and your power as well. I pray for everyone here this morning, Father. For those that have perhaps lost their way, that have lost their first love, that you would draw them back to you this morning. It's the new year, and we put you first, our first love. We put you first this morning, Father. Above all else, you are first. First in my house, first in my marriage, first with my children, first with the congregation, first in our businesses. First in everything, we put you first. Our first love. We honor you. We love you. And we thank you this morning. In the name that is above every name. Now, with every eye closed and every head bowed, if you've come here this morning and you say, Pastor Alex, I need to commit my life to the Lord. I need to put him first. I don't know him, I don't serve him, but I want to do that this morning. Or if you've come here and you say, my life has taken a dive, I want to recommit my heart to Jesus this morning. I'm not going to drag this out. If that's you, quickly slip your hand up right there where you are. God bless you. Anybody else say, Pastor, God bless you. Thank you, sir. God bless you, sir. Thank you so much. Anybody else say, include me, Pastor, this morning in this prayer. And I'll pray for you. Thank you so much. Can we all stand for just a moment? If you lifted your hand, and even if you didn't, but you wanted to, just pray this prayer with me this morning. And pray it from your heart, and he will touch you right there where you are. Just say with me, Father. Let us all say this, Father. I come to you today. I believe that Jesus died and rose again. He is the Son of God. Forgive me for my sins. Wash me in your blood. Write my name in the book of life. I believe in you, Lord. I am yours. In Jesus' name. Now fill me, Holy Spirit. Fill me now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap. Amen. I need to say something. This is important. If you're sitting there and you think that you are past the point of being redeemed, but you in your heart feel like you want to be redeemed, who do you think is pulling at your heart? It's the Holy Spirit. If He's pulling at your heart just a little bit, that means that you're okay. You are not past the point of no return. You are redeemable because you have already been redeemed because of the blood of Jesus. Amen? So let me just bless you. Father, I thank you for the congregation. I thank you for your word this morning. We start with first things first, and we put you first in our lives. As a church in Vero Beach, we give you thanks and we honor and praise you. But you are our first love. You are the senior pastor of this congregation. We honor you. We praise you. We love you. Now I pray, Father, that through this, we will serve you. Not because of what we want, but because of what you have done. We love you. We honor you. We magnify you. I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father and the fellowship with the Spirit be with each and every one of you as you leave this place today. Go in the peace of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.